We have this project with that is funded by the World Bank, and where we are partnering with UNOPS and other UN agency, where we are working on community development in 250 different BOMAs around the country, which means that we have teams going out in sometimes very remote locations to sit down with community and say, okay, we have some funding to help your community to develop itself. What are your priorities? And it's very interesting to see the enthusiasm at the community level and the thinking at the community level in terms of what is it that we need to make a better life for ourselves in the future. And so we go out to the communities, we work with them on identifying their needs, what are their priorities, because of course they have many needs and we will not be able to address all of their needs in one go. But the exciting part of that project is both the participatory process, that in itself is very important to support the thinking inside communities, you know, what does economic development actually mean, but also that we will be able to reach close to 670,000 people once we start implementing the priorities that the communities have identified. And I think that is an important model to continue expanding across South Sudan where it is possible. We also are increasingly looking into, and that is related to local development, because communities are important, but it's also important how do we support local authorities. That's part of that. It's part of this project also, but I think as the international community, we can try and do more to actually support authorities at whatever level it is. Because now we have had a lot of appointments, and there I have seen instances where governors or commissioners, they are trying to do a good job, but they really have no resources to do the job. And I'm not just talking about budget, the whole discussion about how do you make sure that the national budget trickles down to the local level, but also the material circumstances under which they have to work are very challenging. So I think we have to find ways to, there is a lot of, donors are not yet ready, and I think that's very understandable, to blanketly start supporting authorities with material support. But we need to start looking into how can we support where authorities are trying to do their work, whether it's at the national level, the state level, local level. How can we support those people to give them the tools so they can actually do the work? Because that's an important part of development as well. Communities are critical, but authorities, they need to be linked up together. Otherwise, it doesn't, in the longer term, doesn't work from a development perspective.
So would you say this is the start of you transitioning slowly from humanitarian to development?
Yeah, I think you see a shift. I think, and that's not, it's not just IOM, but I can see a shift in the in amongst different international actors, donors, UN agencies, where we are shifting away to, where we are shifting not away, but we are shifting towards increasing development work. With, of course, the challenge is we have to make sure that at the same time we continue to provide life-saving humanitarian assistance. We cannot say, oh, we're going to stop that and going to use all that money for economic development, because the conditions in the country are not there. But you can see that there is more and more attempts to make sure that we can do this type of development work. And I hope, and I think that's really important as a message, that the overall security situation in the country, and especially we will see hopefully improvements in the security situation at the sort of the local level, if you want, to make sure that we continue to work in this direction.
All right. Where do you see South Sudan in the next 10 years?
Well, I think I would like to say one thing in terms of 10 years, and I think it comes from my experience in working in Bosnia-Herzegovina and in my own country, Belgium, where we also have divisions between people speaking different languages. A lot will depend. There's always many factors that will determine, you know, what route a country will take. But there is one thing that I really want to highlight. This is this issue of national unity and the acceptance that people can have different identities. You can be South Sudanese, but you can also be a member of a certain tribe. You can be a member of a certain clan. But South Sudanese national sentiment, if you want, or national unity is really critical. And people will say, oh, that's okay, that's a matter of the government. And it really isn't just a matter of the government. It's a matter of individuals. It's a matter of communities, that people need to start seeing each other first in terms of South Sudanese and second in terms of this tribe or this clan or this place and so on. Because if you don't have national unity, then it will be very difficult to move forward. Because if you think about it, there are a lot of problems in South Sudan, if I can put it in those words, that are shared by all people. The lack of access to education, the lack of access to health, for example. Let's just use those two examples. They are shared independent whether you are this tribe or this clan. So there's a lot of issues that are out there that should unite people and say, okay, we need to work together to improve education. We need to work together to improve health, because that will benefit all of us, because we're all facing the same type of issues. And for me, that is will... whether it will be possible to go towards a more sort of a stronger sentiment of national identity, if you want, I think that will be an important factor that will determine where the country will be going.